Back to Jesus then. Jesus, the Son of God. His judgments too were made according to the will of God. We saw this last week. I won't delay on it. I'll simply remind you of it. John 5:30. I can do nothing by myself, said Jesus. I can only judge as I'm told to judge. And my judging is just. Because my aim is to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You and I are just when our judgments are made according to God's will. To work for justice is exactly the same in the New Testament as to work for the kingdom of God. There's no difference in conceptual content at all. To work for justice is to pray, as Jesus did in the Our Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. There is always a prayer, obedience, faith, looking to God's will, because the only thing a just man wants to happen on earth is not an equalizing of every human being, whatever that might be. There may be times when that's necessary, that might be quite appropriate, but that's not an overall principle. The overall principle is that God's judgments will be the most beautiful, liberating, and loving possible because of who God is. If we could be in tune with that and be effective instruments of that, as Jesus was, if we could bring powerfully the reign of God to bear, then we are working for justice. Then we are, would be to that extent, just. When John speaks of Jesus, and this takes us into a later lecture, a long way later, but just let's touch it for a moment. He speaks of Jesus as being our advocate with the Father, Jesus the Christ who is just. And Paul looks forward in his last letter, 2 Timothy 4:8, to that crown of justice which he will receive from the just judge, looking forward to the whole flowering of his life when God, when Jesus, lets his love be seen fully in Paul's glorious risen life. And when Jesus, in the Last Supper of John, calls God, Father, just one, or righteous one. When he addresses him as the just one, what's his prayer? His prayer is, may the love with which you loved me be in them. That's his prayer to the just one. It's the only prayer possible, that chesed ve'emet of God will be in these people that Jesus is about to leave because of his approaching passion. Taking it again, just a step further within the same language range, to justify, as we've already mentioned, comes from the Latin facere, facere, and jus, to make right, to make according to what is right. Then we have texts, for example, from Peter's letter, 1 Peter 3:18. Christ died once for sins, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring you to God. Perfect expression of what justify means. To justify is to bring to God. Working for justice is bringing people to God. To bring people to God has two aspects, which we looked at last week, but let me just mention them again in this context. The first is to bring to faith, which we saw as that basic attitude of a child before the Abba, and the basic response of a disciple to God is faith. And Paul loves to, he does a number of times, quotes this phrase from the prophet Habakkuk, the just man finds life through faith. That's how he finds life, through his faith in the love of the lover, who is God. It is a question of drawing us into faith. It's also a question, and here we come, if you like, to the perhaps we might say the practical aspect or the active aspect of justification, is to work for the establishment of God's kingdom, for the reign of justice. That's the goal. Jesus himself was a faithful to his Father, and he worked for justice. We are called, like Jesus, to believe, and believing to, as Paul says in a very beautiful text, Galatians 5:6, what matters, he says, is faith. And he goes straight on. Faith that makes its power felt through love. There is no other faith. If faith doesn't show itself in love, if the tree does not bear fruit, then it's not a healthy tree. If something is called faith, and it's something to do with a mental attitude to the God of one's own mind, perhaps, but does not bear fruit in love, then it isn't faith, whatever it is, because it's got nothing to do with a God who is love. So, faith that makes its power felt through love. So Jesus says to us, set your hearts on the kingdom or the reign of your Father first and on his justice. Do that first, he says. Before you do anything else, be convinced of your Father and the fact that your Father is just. Meaning, your Father is faithful to love. That conviction then will lead to everything else in your life. And he prays, as you know me, our Father, may your reign come, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Few other texts just for your meditation. Two of the Beatitudes are given, two of the seven are given to this aspect. Oh, the bliss, says Jesus, of those who hunger and thirst for justice. They shall be satisfied. So what does that mean? Oh, the bliss of those who hunger and thirst for justice. I think it first means hunger and thirst for God's justice, for that quality in God which will be faithful to them and love them. So it's a child delighting in a father's faithful love. But it also means, doesn't it, that Redeemer God, who is concerned to liberate the world, concerned to effect justice in the world, then to hunger and thirst for justice is to hunger and thirst that right, the dike of God we started our lecture with tonight, that the right of God will find its way into law, into order, into regulations, into people's lives, and that the way we act, everyone acts, the way our institutions are organized, the way our decisions are made, the judgments that are effective in society are according to the loving will of God. Paul warns us, and we all need this warning, perhaps especially today, when there's a central concern with matters of social justice and so on. He warns us, those failing to recognize the justice that comes from God try to promote their own idea of it instead of submitting to the justice of God. Two more brief points, and then I'll conclude this first part of my lecture, which is really, as I see it, a recapitulation of last week's using language precisely of justice. It's lovely to see in the New Testament a constant combination of this word justice with the word holiness. Jesus is called by Peter in Acts 3:14, we read it earlier, when he spoke to the crowd and said, "It was you who crucified the Holy One, the Just One." The only justice that is real is justice that flows from holiness. It is justice that flows from union with the mystery, God. It is justice that is in communion with the life giver, who is God. And so our goal, put here in different terms in the New Testament, Luke chapter 1:75, to serve him, how? In holiness and justice, in his presence all our days. It's a beautiful ideal, isn't it? Like, just leave it. That's enough to keep any of us going for a long time. To serve God, which means to serve the world, how? In holiness and justice, in his presence all our days. When you're dying, if you can whisper that and everyone round recognises that that's what you've done, you've lived a lovely life. Paul prays in Ephesians 4:24, "Put on the new self that has been created in God's way," and here it is again, "in justice and holiness of the truth." The two words held together there again. And just two more for your meditation, I hope, if I'm not putting them too quickly for you. 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul says, "Now you have been washed clean and made holy and made just or justified through our Lord Jesus the Christ and through the Spirit of our God." You've been put right, justified. And a beautiful text from Romans 6:19, "Put your bodies at the service of justice for your sanctification." It's a body thing. It's a human involvement in building the world in love. Exactly the involvement that took all Jesus' energy and then all Paul's energy and so on, to build this world as instruments of God. To conclude, the goal of our working for justice is expressed, I think, most beautifully by 2 Peter 3:13, where this dear man, very close to Jesus, said what he was waiting for, and I suppose everyone who's working for justice is waiting for this. "What we're waiting for is what he promised. The new heavens and the new earth, the place where justice will be at home." Now that's the kind of thing that stirred Martin Luther King and I suppose everyone who's worked for justice. And it doesn't mean... It partly means, of course, what we might call heaven. But notice the words. It's not just talk about heaven in the sense of after death. There is a beautiful mystery there that Paul said, longing for that crown of justice that would be given him beyond this life. And let's assume that and keep it as true. Peter is talking about here. He's talking about what Jesus was talking about in the Our Father. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven." We don't have to make God's will done in heaven, but to make it done on earth. And Peter is looking for a new heavens, means the sky and earth, a new social fabric, a new kind of way of living, a new Christendom, a new anointed world in which mums and dads and kids and uncles and aunties and everybody will find justice, will find God's faithful love relevant, meaningful, and organised in the institutions which they live in. It's always been our tradition, thanks to the saints. Some of us are not careful enough about it, perhaps, but our tradition has always been that Christianity is concerned for the world and concerned for politics and economics and all the rest, as you know. And if it's not concerned with that, if it's a matter of waiting for an afterlife only, without a concern that God's will be done on earth, then Jesus would not recognise it, and the good news has not been seen. In the meantime, while we're working and waiting and longing for that, we have to live our lives, and the coming of that depends on the decisions of millions of people, not just mine and not just yours and not just Jesus's, not just Paul and Peter. It's a desire by spreading the kingdom of God to win the world for this vision. In the meantime, Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God means justice and peace, shalom, harmony, and joy brought by the Holy Spirit. The first little building block that I want to present to you when we say, who is Jesus? Who is he? The simplest and most down-to-earth and most clear little, tiny little block building up from where we are into the mystery is that he was a just man. And what an incredibly lovely thing to say just for a start. He was a man who longed, always did what pleased his Father. He was one who wanted God's will to be done, and in his working for justice, knew that the only way to work for it was to work in accordance with the will, the loving will, of the one he called Abba.